the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another segment of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. Like always, I have Jason Bond with me. Jeff hung around again to do some more bug talking, and Angus just made his way over from Starkville to sit down on the couch with us. We are properly distanced, and Angus has the most beautiful green bandana I've ever seen in my life for a face mask.
I don't know if y'all are properly distanced. That may be like 5 1/4 feet.
I can't touch Angus's face with my arm.
I can't touch you either. I'd say we're distanced.
Okay.
Jeff is probably the furthest away from us, way over there in the corner.
I belong in the corner.
Don't put baby in the corner.
I ain't no baby.
Bobby makes references to 1980s movies and nobody knows what he's talking about.
You knew what I was talking about.
Well, it's just because I've heard you say it 50 times.
Angus knows what I'm talking about.
Not just 80s movies. 80s, well, I'm not going to say that.
Well, the 80s was a great era.
That was prime time, Patrick.
What you mean is it wasn't exactly an action movie.
Exactly.
Come on now.
Well, I mean, you got to admit it. Not exactly a Western.
So you never watched that movie?
You can't prove it.
I grew up in the 80s, and I didn't watch that movie until I was like 2 years ago.
You just didn't have girlfriends then, I guess.
No, I just didn't watch that movie.
Angus is stoically taking this.
Well, I mean, I missed it apparently because I don't have a clue what y'all are talking about.
Angus, you drove over from Starkville this morning once the sun was up. What'd you see?
Well, it was actually beautiful on the way over, but a lot of water. A lot of water.
Yeah, my field view said we got here 1.5 inches yesterday, and that was just in one day. Jason, what have we got for the week?
Well, the day before, it was more than that the day before. I don't know what the total is here for the week.
It depends on where you were standing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard as much
as... Because you go a half a mile north, and you got it, you know, yesterday morning and yesterday afternoon.
That's right. That's right.
So we were, you know, we missed that one.
Well, that water plays a real big role in what all we do. You know, I know that you talk about washing off herbicides and stuff like that. You had a lot of spraying that you had to do that you were scared to spray because of the rain.
Yeah.
What generally speaking with most herbicides, is there a set, guideline?
I mean, you know, if you can get 4 hours, you're going to be all right on most everything. You know, and then a lot of things are an hour. You know, Select Max, which is one that's been going out a bunch, or, you know, any kind of anything with clethodim in it, it's only an hour. But then one of our big rice treatments right now is Regiment, and it's 8 hours.
Right.
So, you know, if you're going to make a blanket statement, 4 hours is a good number, but, you know, that may not be it for you. You know, you may be using something that you miss, or you may be overkill. So they're just all different.
You know,
I was thinking, because I just got done talking about this a while ago and had a few calls this week as well with herbicide. So let me set this up. Like with insecticides, say we want to get, just for example, say we wanted 4 hours and we got two hours. A lot of times with an insecticide, it doesn't mean that, hey, we need to retreat, but we got 60% control instead of 90. Is it sort of
exactly
the same?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, with herbicides, anything that has a residual associated with it, then you really can't retreat because you have no idea, you know, how much is out there, and you don't want to, you know, end up with too much and end up injuring the crop or something. So yeah, pretty much you're just at the mercy of what you get. If, you know, if a shower does pop up, and then you just, you know, observe and react to it, you know, the next week or the week after, whenever you got to do something different.
I get all calls all the time about, ooh, how much nitrogen have I lost with, you know, the rain, and that's a function of when did it go out and how long it's been out there and what processes might happen. It's a little more complex than, hey, it got washed off. It's more like what Angus is talking, man, 50%, 40%, you do have some residual.
Yeah, I think you deal with the same thing with picks and cotton, too. I mean, it's not real rain fast, but it does something. And if you get a rain at 4 hours,
Yeah, but then you couldn't really risk retreating because then you risk shutting the whole thing down.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Unfortunately, this is something that not a lot of people think about until we get in a year like we are now where it seems like every other day we're catching some form of precipitation. I mean, we haven't probably went a 10-day stretch without rain in a month.
Yeah, probably so. You know, and the other aspect of that kind of relates to you too, Bobby, is the stuff with residuals. You know, if we're, you know, putting out a lay-by on cotton or making the last application on soybeans right now, we keep getting these rains, then you're putting a residual herbicide in there in that last application that you're expecting to last for, you know, however long you're expecting it to last. You know, different people have different expectations. And if we keep getting rain, it's not going to last, you know, to the length of time that you expected it to. And I know the fertilizer, you know, the same way, it can wash out as well.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to have to make a few more applications than we normally would, especially in this row rice scenarios where that top end of the field is going to have more cycling than it normally would be.
So are there some of the residual herbicides that will handle rain better than others?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, they have different water solubilities. So the kind of the gold standard for that right now is Zidua. It's got a relative to the herbicides that are similar to it, say like Dual. It's got a lower water solubility. So, you know, you can expect all things equal, they should provide a fairly similar spectrum of control and length of residual. But if you do get into a wet period or, you know, in a fur irrigated situation, the Zidua may be a better choice just because of, you know, lower water solubility. It'll hang around, so to speak, a little bit longer.
So, Angus, you and Jeff, or maybe I should put this on Jeff. Y'all been tweeting a bunch of pictures of, I can't get my rainfall test wet in the rain, so we had to move it under the shed. So we're talking in the context of all this, how rain influences multiple aspects of agriculture. What did you mean by that the other day, and what are you exactly testing?
Well, I mean, that's one of our graduate student projects, Miss Sarah Barrett. She's looking at the impact of rainfall on insecticide performance. And so she's doing field assays, field studies, lab assays. So we have a rainfall simulator here on the station. And she was running one of her kind of a hybrid field laboratory assay using that rainfall simulator. And it was raining all day that day. So we actually had to do it a rainfall study underneath the shed. But, you know, that's probably, from a insect standpoint, that's probably one of the most consistent phone calls that we get every year. I mean, we can count it on at some point every year getting phone calls about insecticides getting washed off.
Yeah, and our big one in rice this time of year is like Jason said, those late salvage applications of herbicides, but also we're moving into that fungicide window, and that's the big question. Hey, we generally spray fungicides between 10 and 2. Well, why? That's the heat of the day, and that's generally when it don't rain, you know, because you need a 4-hour. On most of the research that I've been a part of and I've seen with the fungicides, it's very similar. A good safe bet is 4 hours. Some of them are shorter than that, though.
Yeah, and inevitably the conversation goes back to, well, why'd you even spray it? But, I mean, we're enough of meteorologists, all of us, to know that, man, sometimes the pop-up showers is one thing, but even when you see the cloud over there, it seems like sometimes those suckers just turn around and work their way back to you, especially when you don't want them to.
Angus, you're nodding your head. Do you got a master's degree in meteorology?
No, it's 50% chance every day till the rest of the summer ends, and that's pretty much the—
I think if you look at your weather app more than 5 times a day, you're a meteorologist.
Well, I am a meteorologist.
Oh, I am, then, too. I looked at it 5 times before 7 o'clock most days.
Yeah, I mean, we're all over the state. We plan our day based on what the map says. Can we hit this site? Can we hit this site? And then you get there, and they're wrong. But, you know, that's all you can do.
I think I've said multiple times and probably more than once on this podcast, if we were as wrong as much as the weatherman, people would look for an answer somewhere else.
The weatherman on Channel 6 in Greenville a couple weeks ago, he just said, I don't know.
I don't know. 50% chance.
Well, I'd rather
have—
how
many times have you heard that?
Yeah, really, I know. But he was straight up. He said, I don't know.
Oh man, it's always fun this time of year when the pop-up showers happen. So, Angus, you were going back and talking about, hey, you got 60% left if it gets washed off. You got maybe 40% chance with something like an insecticide. When we're thinking about fertilizer, it's a completely different product than insecticide. But the heavier, higher duration rains tend to wash more off the field. Soil moisture status prior can have that. So does the type and duration of rain influence?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question that the intensity, the amount, the whole thing probably plays into it. But what probably plays into it more than anything is what kind of insecticide you're spraying. And these weren't necessarily set up to be rainfall studies, but, you know, all the efficacy tests that we all conduct across all the years, we've all had rainfall at various amounts of times, and we look at our data and we see how they perform. I mean, a good, for instance, is like a pyrethroid in soybeans. I mean, I've put tests out in soybeans, say on stink bugs, it depends on what the target is and the insect is, and got a torrential downpour within 15, 20 minutes and still almost zeroed, you know, green stink bugs out with a pyrethroid when other things, you know, didn't work because it's a contact and you get that initial contact, they're dead. Now, it would affect any residual, obviously, that you get there, but sometimes that's just good enough, you know, to knock the numbers back. So there's just so many variables that play into this, but the big question is, do I need to retreat? And you really just got to think through what your target is and what your specific pesticide that you sprayed was and how the properties of it is.
You know, one thing that we've noticed in a lot of the work that we've been doing is that we're ending up measuring two different things. We're measuring rain fastness, and we're also measuring the Bobby, you just totally distracted me messing with Angus over there. But
that's Bobby's superpower, distracting people.
We're measuring rain fastness, which is how long the chemical is actually out there, and then we're also measuring the impact of rainfall on the performance of those insecticides, and really kind of figured out that those are two different things last year. The rain fastness, we're measuring that doing a chemical analysis of the plants. So we spray it, put rainfall on, and then pull leaf samples and send them to the state chem lab and get a number back that tells us how much.
Adsorbed number.
Yeah, how much of that insecticide is still in the field. The other thing we're doing is efficacy studies, and those efficacy studies don't always match up with those residue studies. And I think what it amounts to is the amount of time that insecticide is out there, whether or not it has time to contact that insect or not, or for the insects to come in contact with a lethal dose. And a lot of the chemicals that we're looking at is out to 4 hours. We still don't have a lot of recovery for 4 hours between the application and the rainfall.
Well, you said that I interrupted you or distracted you. I apologize, but Don walking into podcast studio with a wet belly distracted me. So, I mean,
that's
it is fine. What it
now,
is.
I was going to comment later, but yeah, no. Cook's been working because that's a one wet shirt you got on there, dude.
If y'all, because we're on a radio show, let me picture this.
Dude,
for
it's
you.
Not the radio. It's a podcast.
Podcast, radio, same difference, right? All right. So Dr. Cook walks in with sweat beads dripping off of his forehead, a wet belly, and no shoes.
No shoes. I noticed that.
No shoes, which means after about 3 inches of rain in Stoneville, he's been trudging through a soybean field probably this morning because he's wet above his armpits.
He's shaking his head, yeah.
Hey, you know, related to that, what your comments, Jeff, I didn't think about that, about, you know, there'd be a difference in the type of treatment, whether it's a contact treatment, you know, you're talking about the insect contact and the, you know, the treated area, basically. You know, we don't have to deal with that, obviously, because our targets don't move. But a question, this same idea that we're talking about that I've gotten this year that I don't guess I really thought about it much, or if I have in the past, it never really made many waves in my head. But what do you tell folks about spraying like right after a rain? You know, when you got a wet leaf surface, you ever think about stuff physically rolling off a treated leaf?
I think, and I just had this question a while ago, and I think in some instances it can actually be beneficial. I'll give you a good example. If you're spraying corn, you're trying to kill a bollworm or a fall army worm down in a whorl. And you make that application, you get a light rain after that. It can actually be beneficial. It pushes that product, you know, further right. down in the whorl. Looking at the data that Sarah has generated, I noticed that on some of those, on the chem analysis with the rain, it actually went up. And the further, so in other words, I guess you'd recovered more of the product. I can't remember what I'm trying to say here.
There was a short spike with a little bit of rain before you got to wash off.
Not relative to the no spray, but one of the things, I guess the threshold of the applied rate must be well above what it takes to kill an insect. Because when you look at you lost as much as 80% of the active in the field due to the rain, but yet when you look at the efficacy of the product, I'm assuming those were the same plots, you still maintain 60 to 80% control. So the rates that we're applying, I guess,
are too high is what you're saying.
Well, but this is the kind of stuff, I guess, when you're coming up with a product, you have to account for.
Well, and you have to think about the fact that when the field efficacy part of that is we're doing a snapshot in time, and that's not taking into account new insects moving into the field, that residual activity, new eggs hatching out. So that can be a little misleading because it is just that one quick snapshot in time that we're looking at there.
But unfortunately, in agriculture, most all of us deal with snapshot in time.
Yeah, exactly.
Jason does his rating on a day. We pull tissue samples on a day. You know, it's just the nature of what we do. And I think you brought up a good point because a lot of people forget that.
But, all right, so talking about spraying a wet leaf surface, what about, you know, spraying early in the morning when there's big dew on? I mean, is there any risk of the product physically moving off the leaf?
I think there is a risk, and we've tried to do a little bit of that, looking at time of day, the timing of the application in terms of time of day, and it really doesn't seem to make a big difference. But I don't know that we've ever really looked at how wet a leaf is. Of course, obviously, during the summers in the Mississippi Delta, it's usually fairly wet early in the mornings.
And yeah.
Look at Don, it's fairly wet.
Yeah, well, I mean...
and I feel the same way. I don't think you can schedule around it, you know, especially on our latitude. It's just a fact of life. And then I put the, you know, spraying right after a rain in the same category. I mean, you may have some you spray and then this one droplet decides to roll off a leaf, but that's going to depend on the crop and leaf angles and all that. That's just impossible to account for.
When you get into what I do, all of that changes, because if you got wet leaves, fertilizer, at least granular fertilizer, is going to stick to it. Then you're going to go, oh, holy crap, I just burnt the pee out of everything.
Yeah. And I mean, time of day definitely affects some herbicides. You know, the kind of the gold standard for that's Liberty. We learned, you know, years ago when Liberty Link got big, hey, we don't need to spray that in the middle of the night because it won't work. And then, you know, more recently, the application timings for the dicamba products, you know, trying to get around applying those into an inversion has been something that we've had to account for.
You know what I learned about Liberty the other day, Jason? That soybeans are so much tougher than I ever give them credit for. I sprayed accidentally some beans with Liberty.
You're always accidentally spraying something.
I got a lot of weeds, man. Look, this is no kidding. Whitney, this was your stuff that I killed. I thought I killed. I mean, it was literally barbecued, and it was three planting dates from about 4 inches tall to about 10 inches tall up to about 15. And I absolutely 100% browned out. And if you looked at them today, you would wonder that if I even – the oldest beans, that is, they have completely come back from that. I couldn't even believe it. I mean, it was literally barbecued.
Have you ever sprayed a good rate of cobra on beans? I mean, like a
– Oh, yeah, I know it burns them, but this was like – I mean, you would have no way – I would have no way thought these beans would have recovered, and today they are beautiful today. Mm-hmm. I just can't – I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, the small beans are dead.
Yeah. But yeah, there's definitely a line there. I mean, we actually sprayed the low end of our field, you know, where we didn't have, you know, room to do any more plots, and so we ran Liberty across the low end of it, and I had like eight rows of beans that went all the way through, and they were big. I mean, they were, you know, knee high or better, is just what you described. I mean, it is 100% desiccated, and they, you can't even tell now.
Well, I also got a, later. I got a rep of cotton as well because I killed some of my cotton with Liberty. Did the same thing. It was about 10 nodes. It looked bad, and I haven't been able to get back to the field because of the rain to check and see if this recovered or not. I suspect it may or may not have. Probably not because they look really bad. But, yeah, I managed to kill a lot of stuff with herbicides. Y'all need to get all the technologies in all the crops, and it would make it a lot easier.
Well, then how are you going to kill that if you somebody comes through there with a combine set wrong?
Bush hog.
And you shatter out all those soybeans that you can't kill with anything.
Man, I'm telling you, I have messed up so many the last 3 years with, like, dicamba this, Enlist this. You know, it's just crazy all the stuff we got. We got all the technologies and all these trials, and it is impossible to keep up with.
It is that. It is that. I mean, you can keep up with it. You just
you can keep up with it, but when you relay that through three people to try to get something sprayed, that's where the problem comes in. So I can imagine some of the problems these growers have.
You know, we haven't had, you know, speaking of that, I haven't seen any just full-on misapplications this year. Like, hey, I thought that was a extend field, and I sprayed it with 2,4-D. I mean, you know, we've had some off-target stuff, but I haven't seen any. In the first couple of years, I say that because the first couple of years we did. I mean, we had some whoopsies that ended up.
Yeah, most of the ones I'm referring to from this year are like somebody put a variety trial on somebody and forgot that they had this technology or this one in it. But
it's always that first 1 or 2 years where it's a whoopsie. We did have a couple whoopsies in rice this year, and it wasn't even really – that it was some of the residual new path was still around for Provisia. And with all the rain we had, we just assumed it would have been gone.
We got some permit on some soybeans.
Yeah.
Same way. Didn't get it out of sprayer good.
I forgot about that one we went and looked at. But
No. Yeah, no, we did go look at that. But no, we did this to ourselves actually here on the station.
Y'all were talking about real world, Angus.
That actually did happen commercially. But yeah, we did it to ourselves too.
I think one of the things that all this discussion kind of tells you is that nothing's perfect. And even a lot of the research that we do is not perfect. And we realize that. We all make mistakes in our research. And sometimes stuff just happens.
Well, I think one of the things you do when you make a mistake is you learn something. You know, I mean, that's why it's research, right?
Yep, some
that's
of the exactly right.
Best things that I've learned has come from putting the wrong treatment in the wrong place and go, ooh, that looked pretty good.
Well, and I think just to kind of wrap up some of this rainfall stuff, there's no, you know, one shoe fits all. I think what you do is you got to look at what the target was, what you put out, and talk it over. People have probably experienced it, and make your best guess from there on whether it requires a retreat or not.
Yeah, I think we live our lives on mistakes, you know, whether they're fabricated, you know, here's a problem, let's go out and try to create this mistake that happened somewhere in plots and see how we can correct the mistake, or like we're talking about, hey, rain came up on us and washed some stuff off. That was a mistake. Now what can we see from it?
Well, it's like you say all the time, Jason, nobody ever calls us to come look at a pretty field of rice or a pretty field of cotton.
Yeah, I don't ever see the stuff.
You just do so many of these trials between the agronomist and everybody here. Somebody has just experienced. I mean, I had a call about transform rain fastness on aphids, and I remembered a couple years ago, I did a test, got a rain in 15 minutes. After a hard rain and still got like 40-50% control. And, you know, so that was the guy said, hey, good enough for me right now. So he's going to give it another check instead of respraying it. And those are the things a lot of us has encountered and can share with our clientele if we've experienced it.
All right, folks, we certainly appreciate Angus coming over and actually, you know, being in the studio with us this morning and Jeff for hanging out with us again. So, of course, if y'all need anything, just give us a call. We are in entomology time now. Angus and Jeff and, of course, Don and Whitney are standing by right now. So do anything for you, just give us a call.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.